Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
At Christian Apostolic Church, through the Angel Food Ministry, you can get excellent restaurant-quality food at a great low price.
This food is delicious.
Angel Food rocks. You gotta try it. You can't buy better food anywhere.
When you think about saving money while feeding your family the best food, you need to think Christian Apostolic Church and Angel Food Ministry, helping families eat better.
Mine tastes that good.
It's really good.
This service is available to all. There are no income guidelines. If you eat, you qualify.
I like it.
You've got to try it. It's really good.
CAC's Angel Food Ministry can accept payment in just about any format. You can pay by cash or money order, debit card, credit card, or food stamps card, EBT. The only format we do not accept is personal check.
The food is delicious.
The delicious menu is available on our website right now, along with an order form you can print right from the website. Check it all out at www.cac.us.com/angelfood. Again, that's cac.us.com/angelfood. Christian Apostolic Church and Angel Food Ministry, helping families eat better.
It's like they say, restaurant quality food.
Angel Food is awesome.
Now, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Voice of Truth, and we're pleased to bring you at this time another installment of A Creation Seminar by Steve Grohman. Previously on the program, we've already played a portion of this series. Steve presents his seminar live hundreds of times each year in churches, public schools, private schools, and at a variety of other special functions. And via radio and television interviews, his voice has been heard internationally addressing this crucial topic. You can visit Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Again, that's www.creationseminar.net. And we encourage pastors, teachers, school principals, school superintendents, and any others interested in helping children learn the truth about creation and helping people to uncover the lies and deception of the religious movement known as evolution to email Steve at creation@creationseminar.net. What you're about to hear was recorded live in a church setting. The voice you'll hear is Steve Grohman. He's spent the last 14 plus years on the road full time, traveling with his wife Dana and now their son Paul as well, teaching about the crucial topic of creation versus evolution. Let's roll the tape.
You can live just fine without your left hand. Now, it might be kind of nice to have it back. But just because you can live without something, does that mean you didn't use it when you had it? Folks, that's crazy. That doesn't make any sense at all. And look at this. The coccyx, they say, is the small bone at the end of the human vertebral column. It has no present function and is thought to be the remainder of bones that once occupied the long tail of a tree-living ancestor. You ever wonder why when you fall down, they say you've whacked your tailbone, you know? Well, they say that used to house our tail way back when we used to use it, you know? Now, come on, anybody can believe that if they want, but wait a second. This very clearly says it has no present function. Remember the way that other textbook said it, talking about the tailbone, no useful function, no apparent use. Well, folks, that's just not true. We met a girl in Wilmington, Delaware, little Ashley Murray. She was born without a coccyx. And her parents had to take her out of public school because she could no longer handle the mental abuse of going to school because she has to wear a diaper every day of her life, 24 hours a day. There are a lot of very important functions that come together back there, and she's missing that stuff. She can't play leapfrog and dodgeball quite the same as all the other kids, and she got teased too much and ridiculed, so they pulled her out of school. But the point is still the same. It is a useful item. Can you live without it? Yeah, she's as normal as anybody else in this room. She's just missing a vital part of her body, that's all. But she's still a normal girl otherwise. In fact, and that's all these textbooks talk about, we have gill slits and a tail in the womb and all that stuff. Folks, you do not have gill slits in the womb. Now look, the skin is on the outside pretty early on. I mean, if the skin isn't on the outside holding things in, how are the, you know, the intestines and the windpipe and kidneys and liver, you know, everything just get mangled around on themselves, you know? The skin is on the outside holding the stuff, and it's really squished down really, really small. So it's kind of wrinkled up. And as the whatever it is grows and develops, it grows and develops into the whatever it is. That's all. Has nothing to do with gill slits, but that's what they claim. I mean, if you have a puppy dog tonight, gives birth, go down, grab the scruff of the neck and the back of one of those pups, you know, you could play the thing like an accordion for a while, you know. It's going to grow into that stuff. And it's no different in the womb. And it's, folks, all these books, they say the evolution of the respiratory system, the evolution of the nervous system, the evolution of the heart, the evolution of the circulatory system, the evolution of the digestive system, the evolution of everything. For any one part of any one of those systems to evolve, blind random chance, is nonsense, much less the entire package. Folks, it's just not possible. You know, anybody can believe time and chance can put something like that together if they want to, but that doesn't make it science. I certainly prefer to believe that God says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's exactly what the evidence shows. Folks, what God says is what the evidence shows. You know, design testifies that there's a designer. You absolutely cannot get around that. Design testifies that there is a designer. Now let's think of some complex entities here tonight. How about buttons? Now, I bet not too many of you stay awake at night worrying about buttons, okay? But I mean, think about a button. These things are really pretty cool. Usually, wherever the button is, on the other side of the material somewhere, there is a slit that is the perfect size for the button to fit through. Pure coincidence, I'm sure. But not only that, most buttons are round. There's a reason for that. It doesn't matter how you attach the thing. Since it's round, you are always approaching the slit from the smallest side. And then it gets wider, and then it locks down around it, so it holds it firm. Most buttons have four holes. You can stitch it in a way where it holds firm. And it usually works so well, you could take two fingers and a thumb and put a button through a buttonhole. It usually works just fine. Buttons are incredibly complex. You know, most buttons, where the thread is actually attached to the button, it attaches the button to the material, it's recessed, it's concave, it's recessed back in there. Well, you can rub on that thing all day long, and you're not gonna wear off the thread, because you're not even touching the thread, because it's protected. Folks, do you realize something as simple as a button shows design? And obviously, somebody made the thing to do the job that it was made to do, and it does it just fine. In anything, everything is like that, folks. Think of these laser pins. These things are pretty cool. It's got a little clip on it. I can put it in my pocket. I can bend over and do some things, and it doesn't fall out. I don't have to go chase it. You know, they're really quite amazing. There's the back unscrews, a little cap back here, and when you take the cap off, there's a tube in there that's the perfect size for two AAA batteries. Pure coincidence there, I'm sure, too. But as you put the cap back on, you'll notice there's a little spring in there and holds it tight. It's ready to go. I can use it this way, this way, this way, this way, this way. Doesn't matter. It's tight. It's ready to go. It is the perfect size to fit in somebody's hand. And as you close your hand down around this thing, where your thumb will naturally close down, there's a little dot. And you push the little button and poop, a little light comes out. This thing has design. Anybody can see the design behind one of these things. Somebody had to make it to do the job that it does. And let's suppose there's a painting of the signing of the Declaration of Independence up here. All right, now here's the thing, folks. We see the painting. All right, I may want to know who the painter is. I maybe could care less who the painter is. I might desperately desire to know the painter. What I feel about the painter does not deny his existence. The fact that the painting is there is the testimony that there's a painter. You cannot get around it. We are in a building. I did not see the building being built, but I do know there was a builder, because the building is screaming the testimony that there's a builder. Somebody built the thing. If there's a farm out there, there is a farmer. Folks, the thing is the testimony that the designer is there. You can't get around that. It doesn't matter what it is. Anyway, let's change gears here now. Check this out. We have this Raven Johnson, this biology textbook down here on the table. I've mentioned this several times. I'm going to get into it a little bit. This thing in the chapter, Evidence for Evolution, has a whole section ridiculing creation and creationism and creationists and such. And in this thing, look what it says. An even more fundamental problem associated with labeling scientific creationism as science is that scientific creationism implicitly denies the intellectual basis of science itself. Now, folks, that is about as in-your-face kind of a statement as this can be made. They're saying in this textbook, if you are a creationist, you are denying the intellectual basis of science itself. Well, now, time out. Wait a second. Is that a valid claim? No way. You know, the same people, remember this from Sunday morning, say that humans probably evolved from bacteria. Well, now, wait a second. If science is observing and testing, where's the test or the observation for that? There's none. They can believe that, but there's no science for that, you see? Remember this one from the other day. Humans and yeast share common ancestors. Look at the next page right over. If you jump up into the air, you will end up on the ground below. It makes no difference whether you understand or believe in gravity. What goes up must come down. Just as definitely, life on Earth has evolved and is continuing to evolve all around us all the time. I mean, that's incredible. They're saying just as sure as you jump up and come down, evolution happened. Well, look, you can jump up and come down. That's the test. You can drop the apple. That's the test. But to say because that works that way, evolution happened, the two have nothing to do with each other. But all textbooks are making the connection between the two. And they're showing the kids, look, watch this apple fall. See, evolution happened. Oh, okay. It's crazy. But you know what, folks? You keep reinforcing that stuff and they're going to end up believing it. And that's exactly what's happening. There are two worldviews, and the worldview that a person holds matters. And it only one worldview is being presented to our kiddos these days. People say, but I got to see proof the Bible's true. Well, 10 times, God says everything reproduces after His kind. 10 times in just the first chapter of the Bible, God says everything reproduces its own thing. Now let's just see if there's any science for that. Think you can observe and test and demonstrate that? Do you know you can have a bunny rabbit? You can have bunny rabbits, and when those bunny rabbits give birth, they're going to be bunny rabbits. We can have a cage of kitty cats. When those kitty cats give birth, they're going to be kitty cats. You can plant a tomato seed. You give it some water and sunshine, and here comes a tomato plant. Here grows a nice little tomato on there. Take one of those and cut it open. Get a seed out. Put it in the ground. Give it some water. Give it some sun. Here comes another tomato plant. Folks, do you understand? Trillions upon trillions of times, what God says is absolutely scientifically verifiable, trillions of times over. I mean, my grandpa is 102 years old. This guy, he's 102. Just about a year and a half, he finally quit mowing his own yard. 2.5 acres of it. I mean, the guy's incredible. He's a gardener. We love to go to raid grandpa's garden. You know, but grandpa's a funny guy. He's been gardening for 85 years. He's a funny fella. Whenever he plants beans, beans grow there. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. He plants corn, here comes corn. It's crazy. I've never seen anything like it. Look, folks, what you plant is what you're going to get. If you plant cars, you're going to get cars. Okay. Well, maybe not that, okay? I don't know. But the point is, you're going to get whatever it is. Folks, if you have giraffes, they're going to give giraffes. If you have pigs, they're going to give pigs. If you have dinosaurs, they're going to give dinosaurs. Whatever it is absolutely scientifically verifiable. I'm telling you, a 10-year-old child can hold their own against a college professor if they'll stick to what is science. My puppy dog had baby dogs. You're saying I came from a what? A starfish? I don't think so. You show me your science, I'll bring my puppy dogs in. Folks, I'm telling you, we've got all of the science. This is so simple, we've missed it. This is so simple, we've overlooked it. Can you ever crossbreed an iguana far enough out to get an iguanophant? No, it's not going to happen, right? I mean, you see this picture right here. This guy's showing Paul this snake right here. The last offer, I personally know, that he was offered for that snake was $60,000. He's got another one very similar. He was offered $40,000, $100,000 for these two snakes. And the guy said, no way, man, they're not for sale. Folks, this guy knows snakes. He knows snakes. He knows how to crossbreed snakes and put them together and all. He put the snakes together to produce that snake. That picture you're looking at right there, this is the only snake like it in existence on this planet. And he's the guy that put the snakes together. Do you understand? You can crossbreed snakes so far out that you get a snake that's the only one in existence in the world, and it's still a snake. Why? Because thus saith the Lord. That's why. Because God said everything is going to reproduce after His kind, and that is exactly what all of the evidence all the time shows. Never anything otherwise. I'm telling you, if you have fish, they're going to give fish. If you have carrots, they're going to give carrots. It doesn't matter. Can a coconut tree ever produce a rhino? No, it's not going to grow there. But folks, that's what our kids are being taught. That's what our kids are learning. We were driving down the interstate. I drive the motorhome and the car with a camera right there ready to go. Because we see stuff all the time. You know, I'm driving along. Whoa, look at that sign. This is to the Indianapolis Zoo, in Indiana. These rhinos are dinos. Have you ever thought about this, folks? Rhinoceros. Do you know when they found the first rhino bones, they thought it was a dinosaur, they gave it a dinosaur name, and then they realized these guys are still alive. Oops. But it kept the name anyway. I mean, there's so many goofs like that, but anyway. Hey, look at this thing. Remember this from the other day? Well, I don't think I showed it the other day. Check this out. Glencoe Biology sitting right on the table. All the many forms of life on Earth today are descended from a common ancestor. Now, folks, do you realize what that's saying? This thing is saying everything on this planet, plants, animals, you know, bacteria, worms, snakes, whatever, everything goes back to the same grandma and grandpa back in time. That's crazy. That means somewhere back in time, something gave birth to rhinos and coconut trees and people. That's nonsense. Can anybody believe that if they want? Sure. But is it science? No way. And they even say no traces of those events remain. Isn't that convenient for them? But wait a minute, in order to be science, you have to have observation. If there are no traces, there's no observation, there's no science. But look what it says. You can't go back in time to see what happened. Turn to the scientific method, observing and constructing experiments to test. Folks, in the very same paragraph, they say everything on this planet has the same grandma and grandpa. They say you've got to have observations and experimentation to call it science. It is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. It is right in front of us, and we don't even see it. It is incredible to think about it. How about August 2004? Scientific American. Creationists are making headways all across this planet, all across this country in a big way. The evolutionists are very nervous about this very thing. Check this out. This is amazing. The creationists cut at the very credibility of science when they cast doubt on our methods. Folks, I want to cast as much doubt as I possibly can on as many of their methods as I possibly can because they don't have science, you see. And look what it says right here. I'm not against teaching faith-based ideas in religion classes. I'm just against teaching them as if they were science. Well, now, wait a second. Is it faith-based or is it science that everything on the planet has the same grandma and grandpa? Folks, there's no science for that. What they're teaching is faith-based. The only way it's ever going to change is when the Christian community steps up to the plate and gets involved and helps to straighten this mess out. You know, back to the Raven Johnson. It says, scientific creationism implicitly denies the whole intellectual basis for the set of facts that human beings have assembled over the centuries about the nature of life on Earth. They say, if you're a creationist in this textbook, if you're a creationist, you're denying science, you're denying the facts. I dare say it's the other way around, as a matter of fact. Not that way. Anyway, check this out. Same textbook, just a little bit later, a few pages later, shows chapter 19, and it says how humans evolved. And they have a picture of grandma back here in the background. This is amazing. Look what this text says. Humankind's closest living relatives are the African apes, chimpanzees, and gorillas, like this mountain gorilla from Rwanda. Now, hang on a second. Humankind, that's us. They're saying that our closest living relatives, it's that thing right there. Now hang on one second, folks. My closest living relatives live in San Antonio, Texas. I know them pretty well. That's mom, dad, brother, sister. A little further, I've got grandma, grandpa, you know, aunts, uncles, cousins. A little further, great grandma, great grandpa, second cousins, great aunts, and that kind of. Those are our relatives. But there are people that honestly believe that this is Uncle Joe right here. Now listen, they can call him Uncle Joe if they want to. They can call him Aunt Susie if they want to. They can call him whatever they want to. But it's not science. That's the problem, you see. That's where the problem comes. Paul was really desperately trying to figure out. He couldn't remember which one is grandma. I can't seem to remember. Oh, no. It's crazy, you know? Anyway, gorillas and chimpanzees are probably our closest living relatives. All textbooks say this stuff. I don't know if this is a family portrait of anybody in here, okay? But come on, that's just not possible, you know. But that's what the texts say. Anyway, look what it says. All of these African apes are rare, largely due to human encroachment of their habitat. It's your fault they're all gone, you know? Don't you just feel terrible now? Now, wait just one second. Folks, let's think about this for a minute. All these texts get involved in this. Look at National Geographic. They say the loss of wildlife deserves everybody's anger. Hang on just one second. Why? From a pure evolutionary perspective, so what if something's going extinct? Now, let's think this through for a second. Do you realize, according to evolution, things have been going extinct for eons of time? Why should we care or bother or be surprised if something goes extinct today. According to them, it was this mass extinction of stuff in the past that made possible our existence today. Folks, according to evolution, things have been dying off all along. Why should we care if something dies off now? I mean, they make no sense within themselves, you see. That's the problem. Now, don't misunderstand me. We should care because God says we should care. Now, check this out. God puts mankind on this planet and says, you got dominion over everything. Now, that's not dominion as in to be brutish and roughshod over everything. That is dominion as in to tend and care. And what? This is God's big green garden ball he calls Earth. He put a big zoo on the thing, and then he says, watch this. And he threw the thing in a big circle, going 66,600 miles an hour in a circle. 666,000 miles an hour? Coincidence, I'm sure, huh? Anyway, he puts this big zoo on it, and he says, he puts mankind here, he says, take care of that stuff for me, will you? And that's exactly what we ought to do. It is sad to me the extreme left end of the political spectrum has gotten hold of all the issues that Christian ought to have been in charge of all along. Now listen, I'm not telling you, well, let me put it this way. We should care because it's God's stuff, but not worship the creation over the creator. See, that's where the devil always will get his way into a verse of scripture, and he'll twist it around and make everybody believe his version of it. We should care. This is God's stuff. If my son goes over to your house to play with your son's toys, I would expect him to take care of your son's toys because that's his stuff, and vice versa. This is God's stuff. We ought to take care of it because it's God's stuff. We love God. We respect God. We ought to take care of his stuff. That's all. But not to the point of worshiping that stuff. And that's where the problem comes in, you see. But anyway, let's finish this one up. It says, unless care is taken to preserve them from extinction, we will destroy this key link to our biological past. Folks, anybody that thinks that's a key link to our past has no clue about our past. And they're telling our kids about our past and the future. Does the worldview matter? You better believe it, it matters. But the Bible says all nations of one blood. The Bible says Eve is the mother of all. The Bible says mankind is made in the image and likeness of God. Now, if all that's true, and it is, then these charts that are in these textbooks are not. It cannot be both ways, folks. It can't be. Only one is right, you see. Anyway, let's change gears. Now, check this out. This is funny. Discover Magazine, January 96, from fin to hand. In evolution, fast small changes add up to slow big ones, and a mutation happens in a blink of an eye. And a fin can turn into a hand. Okay, wait a minute. Now, science is observing and testing, and believing is faith and religion and belief. And what is it that they have, folks? That's a faith-based system. There's no science there, and it's in all science publications. November 2000, Nature, Muscle Evolution, from fins to four legs. It's in all science publications and textbooks. They basically say that life started in the water and it climbed out onto land. And now think about this. Have you ever thought through the change that would have to happen to go from living in the water to living on land? I mean, think about it now. You're down underwater. It's cool, it's dark, it's damp, it's pressure, and certain way of getting around, certain food chain, certain way of breathing. And then you decide you want to live out on land. So you get out on the land and now it's hot, it's dry, and it's dusty. You have to have eyelids come across to bring fluid to your eyeballs, you know, and so they don't cook out. And you have to, whole new food system. Nothing you like to eat is out there. You have to have a whole new diet, whole new way of breathing and getting around and everything. And not only that, folks, this is a really, really big planet. And there had to be a boy and a girl come out. And they had to be able to find each other and like each other and reproduce with each other and keep this thing going. Folks, that's crazy. For the thing to just happen once is nonsense, much less to continue the thing on. There's no way. There's no science for that. People can believe it, but that's not science. You know, I go into public schools all over this country. And I was in Wahala, South Carolina, Wahala High School. Now, look at this close. Watch this. This is a sign right on the front yard there. And look what it says. Selected by the U.S. Department of Education as a new American high school. Now, folks, when you see those kind of words, those are those buzzwords for this outcomes-based education stuff. I'm telling you, I go into a lot of these schools, and it is scary what's qualifying as education in many cases. But anyway, look what the sign says right here on the front. To dream. All right, let me ask you a serious question. Do we really want to ship our kids off to public high school to dream? No, not me. No. No, you know what I want my son to dream about? I want my son to dream about being an evangelist, or being a missionary, or being a pastor, doing something for God. That's what I'd really like him to dream about. And look at the second thing it says, to believe. Well, do we really want to ship him off to public high school to believe? Now, folks, there are some things going on in some of these places I don't even want him to know about, much less believe in. And then finally, number three, achieve. Whatever happened to just plain old teach them how to read and write, add and subtract and all? I mean, this is incredible. Have you ever tried to get change counted back to you at a grocery store correctly? You can't do it. After they, you give them the money, right? After they punch the numbers in the little calculator computer machine there, reach in and get the pennies it takes to get the quarters back. Watch what happens. Tilt. I'm telling you, we have done this so many times. It's fun, folks. Take me up on it. Please do this. It's fun. Go to the deli section of a grocery store and order 2/3 of a pound of something and watch what happens. Just watch. They don't know what that means. You know what they do? They start slicing the stuff and they throw it up on a scale and say, is that enough? Is that enough? 3 weeks ago, we were doing a seminar and the assistant pastor came up and said, you're not gonna believe what happened to us. He said, he went with this other fella to McDonald's. And he went in there, this guy, he's a pastor. He says, I want a half dozen chicken nuggets. And the fellow at the register said, we don't sell them in a half a dozen. And he looked up at the thing and says, you sell 6, 9, and 12. He said, yeah, but we don't have them in a half a dozen. The guy said, well, give me 6 then. But folks, it's the way we are. That's our society these days. Hey, we need to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Folks, we need to get serious about our kids. It's their minds and souls. Anyway, so I'm in Walhalla High School. So I go into the science classroom. This is funny. In science rooms, they have all this stuff hanging all over the walls all the time. Well, they have this chart. Here's the scientific method. Let's do the scientific method. Let's follow science here tonight and see what happens on something we've already looked at a little bit. First thing we need to do is figure out what it is that you want to learn. What do you want to do? Okay, for our science here tonight, what we want to do is we want to actually learn if it's true that fins evolved into legs and limbs and such, okay? That's what we want to figure out here tonight. Step number 2, research. Find out as much about your topic as you can. So we go to the library, we go to the science teachers, we go to the university, interview the professors, we go to the college library, we go online. Hours and hours turn into days, turn into weeks. We do diligent study. All the experts say it happened. Everybody agrees. They even have zoo displays with this now. Okay, so the next step, hypothesis. Predict the answer to the problem using a crystal ball here. That's another whole issue, but anyway, I guess the prediction is it must have worked. Everybody says it worked. Basically what they say about 20 billion years ago, little dot blows up, and out of this rubble everything shows up and it's been getting better over time, so now we're so smart and we're so, you know, knowledgeable, now we can look back in time and see what it looks like, how it happened. Okay, so the next thing, experiment. Design a test to confirm or disprove your hypothesis. Now hang on just a second. Can anybody in here come up with a test that we can do to show fins turning into 4 legs or limbs or such? There is absolutely 0 test you can do to qualify that. But folks, do you understand? You must have that experiment in order to call it science. I'll take it a step further. Absolutely 100% of every example in the evidence for evolution chapters will melt down right there. There is no test you can do to ever show evolution happen. You know why? Because thus saith the Lord, that's why. God said he spoke and put this place here and it reproduces after its own. But evolution says non-life turned into life and turned into other life. It violates what God says he did. It is violating the truth. There is no test that can ever be done. But you must have the test to call it science. Folks, I'm telling you, evolution is wild speculation. There is 0 evidence to support it. But so many people believe it happened because that's all they've ever heard. All right, so the next step, analysis. Record what happened during the experiment. It didn't work. So what do you do if it doesn't work? Check it out. All texts say this. And this is what science is. If your test does not work, you go and revise your hypothesis and you repeat the process. You revise it and repeat. If your test worked, even if you got your test to work out, you go and repeat several times that test. That's what makes it science. Well, folks, there's no science for this kind of stuff then. None at all. All right, let me see a show of hands. Everybody in here that wears glasses. Let me see how many people wear glasses. Okay, we've got a lot of people wear glasses. Well, a little quick survey here. Why do you wear glasses? Because, okay, so that would have to do with seeing. Okay, well, why do you wear glasses? For reading. You read with eyes.
That's about all the time we have for now. But in the future, we'll be hearing more from creation science evangelist Steve Grohman as we play for our listening audience the audio from A Creation Seminar. Listen for it next week. Also, we encourage you to log on to Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. That's www.creationseminar.net. Make a note and check it out before our next broadcast. www.creationseminar.net.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.